Sometimes it feels like the world is coming apart at the seams and falling to pieces all around us. A few weeks ago, one of my students, sharing a prayer request, commented that she felt like a disaster person with all the issues that she's facing in her family and ministry. After she'd shared her concerns, I let her in on the secret. "We're all disaster people," I told her. Now, oddly enough, this feeling of a world coming apart often seems to intensify during the holiday season. At the time when we would expect that we're most primed for joy, for forging memories, for continuing cherished traditions, we also find that everything accelerates. Our calendars fill up, demands on our time and attention multiply, coming from all directions. The frenzy of shopping, the pressure to perform, and that's just the good stuff. We also face painful memories, or feelings of isolation, or family strife. Just a few weeks ago, in the span of a few hours, a car careened down University Avenue into the Los Gatos coffee roasters down the street, causing massive damage. A shooting occurred at a busy mall in San Jose where people were doing their holiday shopping. And another shooting took four young lives and injured another 11 people at a child's birthday party at an ice cream parlor in Stockton, not far from us. And then just last weekend, within 24 hours, we heard the devastating news of a mass shooting at Brown University. Back-to-back with another mass shooting in Australia targeting the Jewish community gathered for a Hanukkah celebration. Events like these leave us perplexed and shaken, calling out, "How long?" Our readings for today bring an odd sort of comfort in reminding us that this feeling is actually nothing new. King Ahaz, ruling the northern kingdom, faces the threat of hostile foreign powers encroaching upon Israel, threatening invasion. The psalmist, who's writing either during that same period or perhaps a few decades later at a time when the people of God had actually been conquered and taken into exile, scholars disagree about the precise setting, but the psalmist laments that God is angry despite the prayers of his people and begs him to shine forth to save and restore them. And then several centuries later, a young engaged couple finds themselves facing an unplanned pregnancy with the added complication that they've not had sex yet. So the child is definitely not Joseph's, leaving him with no option but to assume that his betrothed has been unfaithful to him. These crises range from the geopolitical to the domestic, from the huge to the small. And doesn't that just parallel our own experience of this world falling apart? Wars and rumors of wars rage all around us. Genocides are occurring. Our neighbors are living in fear of kidnapping and deportation. And amid this all, we're worried about the problems in our own lives. Will we be able to put enough presents under the Christmas tree? Will our retirement savings be enough? Maybe we're concerned about an ailing spouse, or with aging parents, or with pressure at work, or with our grades or college applications, or we're facing tension in our family over political differences. And when we're faced with these smaller scale problems, we can sometimes feel guilty. How can I be worried about this promotion or with my 401k when children are starving, when my friends are being arrested? But in these readings, God does not distinguish between the big and the small. They all matter to God. And God is not limited. God cares about all of them. No problem is too big for God, and no problem is too small for God. And while studies show that multitasking is an illusion, you might think that you're doing it all, but in reality, you're just sort of halfway doing a bunch of stuff, and probably not even halfway. You can't do it, but God actually does multitask. All of these problems receive God's complete attention. It's not a competition. There is suffering and hardship enough to go around. And there's enough of God's merciful care to go around. And when we're focused on our own problems, God does not expect us not to care about them. Even so, God also invites us to enlarge our hearts and to widen our vision and concern, to care about more, just like God does. We should never be caring about less. Only ever more. And to each of the struggling people in our readings, as well as to each of us, God holds out the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. The season of Advent is all about waiting. Waiting for Christmas, obviously, but more pointedly than that, waiting for God to act. And as we wait, we are assured that God is not simply on the sidelines. God is with us. Between Ahaz's distress in the Old Testament reading and then God's ultimate resolution and answer, some 700 years intervened. We sometimes wait for what seems like forever, for what seems far too long. But God is with us, and God will answer. And in the end, it is through the small things that God has acted and saved this falling apart world. In the end, God's salvation came not through geopolitical upheavals, but through that domestic crisis. God has saved us by taking on flesh, by being with us, born into that troubled family. Because Joseph had not been cuckolded. Mary is with child from the Holy Spirit, and the child who will be born to Mary, whom Joseph will claim as his own and help to raise, the child whose birth we celebrate in just a few days will be named Jesus, a name that means the Lord saves. So in the end, Emmanuel and Jesus, or Savior, turn out to be synonyms, because this is how God decides to be with us, by bringing salvation to our weary, hopeless world. In Jesus, God lived among us, lived an ordinary human life with all its normal worries and anxieties, lived as one of us. The life of Jesus was concerned with all that small stuff, to remind us that even amid all the small stuff, God is with us and is with us to save, to remind us that amid all of life's anxieties, small and large, we are not alone. God is to be found there too. And even Jesus knows what it is to live in that long Advent waiting, begging God to act. On the cross, he cried out to God. On the cross, it appeared that God was absent, that Jesus' hopes, his needs, were going unfulfilled and unanswered. Jesus cried out to God and died without an answer. But God was not absent. And 3 days later, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. The promise of Advent, the promise of Emmanuel, is that even if the problems we're facing are not resolved in our lifetime, even if they're not resolved in the course of human history, God will act. Salvation will come. Jesus will return and finish what he started. And in the meantime, he's given us two gifts by which God continues to be with us. In the Holy Spirit, God is with us always, guiding us, giving us hope amid our sorrows, and continually working to make us more like Jesus, even and maybe especially amid those small spaces of life. Because the big problems of the world can mask the reality that God is concerned with every aspect of our life, even the small stuff. It all matters. Few of us are in positions to stop wars or to revise policies and so on. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't do what we can to address those needs. Get involved. Call your representatives. Give to causes. Vote. Volunteer. But also live your own lives within these seemingly small concerns. Because this is where God has placed us, where God promises to be with us, where God has determined to have us work out our salvation. And this is why the collect for today bids God to purify our conscience by his daily visitation, so that when Jesus comes, he'll find in us a mansion prepared for him, so that he can dwell with us as Emmanuel forever. This is worked out in the day today of our lives. Our second gift, the Holy Eucharist. Here, Christ continues to visit us, perhaps not day by day, but week by week. In the Eucharist, we are fed with Christ's body and blood, and this is a pledge that the incarnation, his taking on flesh, is permanent. God was not just with us 2,000 years ago. He's with us this day, given to us as our daily bread. The sacrament is given to continue his presence with us and to feed us along the journey of life. In it, we remember his death and proclaim his resurrection as we await his coming in glory. In it, we are fed with Christ himself, so that through us, he can continue to be with this hurting world. To King Ahaz, God promised the sign of Emmanuel. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we read that Jesus himself is this sign. And in this meal, God gives us that same sign over and over again, as often as we need it. Our Advent waiting is almost at an end. But really, the wait is far from over, because the reality of which Advent speaks is not simply a once-a-year affair. Instead, the season exercises us in something that's always true, something that's basic to the meaning of being a disciple of Jesus, that we wait for God. And so, Christmas won't end the waiting. As our anticipation gives way to festivity, though, enjoy the respite. Celebrate well. Take joy and comfort in the holiday cheer, and be renewed there, just as God promises to renew us at this table. Do so so that you can continue to wait well, because we don't wait passively, but in hope that a new world is coming, that in Jesus that new world has already been born, and that now through you and me, the new world continues to grow and will continue to do so until by the grace of God it reaches its full maturity. Show us the light of your countenance and we shall be saved. Amen.